Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And for our Los Angeles area listeners, the call-in number is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including right here in the Happy Independence Day San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free number is 877-697-9725. And we will have the chat room open, and producer Kina will be in there. So if you want to just log in and listen, you know, just type in, tell her hi. She works very hard. And if you have a question, you can type it in, and she'll make sure that it gets to me. So today we're going to be talking about the business of spirit. And there's light and shadow in everything, including being a spiritual practitioner. I was once told that when it comes to deciding a career, I should figure out what I would do for free, then figure out a way to get paid for it. And for those that find their way into spiritual practices, one of the favorite dreams is to be able to create a career where we can practice, you know, that which we've found and has brought such meaning to our lives, and to be able to make a living at it. So we're going to be looking today at exploring what it takes to really make a go of turning your spiritual practices into an income-producing way of life. And there's a lot of pieces to this. There are, you know, first off, the business logistics. Now remember, whether you are selling shoes, whether you are, you know, selling houses, or whether you are a spiritual practitioner, there are certain consistencies that are required when you're starting a business. The first thing is it really something that you want to do? Is it something that you just kind of think of part-time? Is it something you want to do full-time? And really take time to kind of meditate on what it will mean to your life to be a full-time practitioner. And some folks, you know, they come out of their first Reiki class and they're all excited and that's it. I just want to do this forever and I'm going to quit my job and, you know, open up my door and everybody will come running in because what I do is so fantastic and what this is so fantastic. And that is wonderful. And I'm not saying it never happens. It's just highly unlikely. So if you're considering shifting your income, especially, you know, if you're established in another job, and if, most especially if it doesn't relate at all to spirituality. I mean, there's a lot of folks who have been in the high-tech world who just decide, you know what, I want to follow, you know, the passion of my heart. I want to be a healer. I want to go into this other direction, which you can. You just want to do it in a really good, smart way. I mean, just in general, a lot of new businesses, the first time out of the chute, don't make it. And it's not through really any fault. It's just a lot of times it can just be, well, either it was not promoted in the best way that it could be, or the business steps were not followed to be able to give it a good, solid foundation. And a foundation is the most important thing to anything, a good, strong foundation. It doesn't matter how much money you put into a house. If it does not have a solid foundation, you know, it's going to collapse, no matter how grand it is. So first, think about those pieces. It's like, okay, I want to become a spiritual practitioner. How is it that that can happen in the best way? Well, the first thing that you need to do is talk to other practitioners. Find people who are doing it, especially people who are doing it and succeeding at it. Most spiritual practitioners have another job that they do. a lot of my work is spiritually based. I do spiritual counseling, I do energetic work, all the clearings, and, you know, working from that place of spirit. And I am a chiropractor. And I work in that way. Now, the cool part for me is that I can blend both of them beautifully. But not everybody is that fortunate. Not everybody has a job they have, that income-producing career, that will blend beautifully with the spiritual life. So there's going to need to be a transition from one to the other. And in order to make that the best possible transition you can, first off, like I said, getting information, talking to the people who are doing what you want to do, and find out how they did it. You don't have to do it exactly as they did it. And why reinvent the wheel if you don't have to? Learn from what other people went through, because more than likely, if you go and talk to people who are doing this type of work as a career, they will have all kinds of stories on all the mistakes they made. Pay attention to those, because then it will allow you to, you know, maybe be able to navigate those waters a little bit more easily. So think about business basics. Focus on, yes, it is spiritual. Yes, there is that place of connection with higher power or the universe or however you envision it. Consider that. And also consider that we exist in a particular energetic field that most people refer to as real life. And, you know, the whole fact that that's all an illusion will be for another show. But there are the realities of, you know, we have to pay our rent. Well, technically we don't have to, but then we won't have a place to live. So we should pay rent. There is licensing. You know, if you're starting a business in a city, what are the laws and rules regarding holistic practices, regarding alternative practices? These are things that you're going to need to know. So it doesn't matter what type of business you're starting. Come from the viewpoint of, okay, this is first a business. It may be a calling, it may be a passion, but first it's a business. So the idea of finding out everything you need to know about starting a business. If you don't have a lot of experience with that, then there are always resources that are available. The Better Business Bureau often has branches, and I know in our area it's called Silicon Valley SCORE, and that's SCORE. And I'm sure that they have SCORE offices all over the place. And basically what it is a resource where you can go for little or no money, consult with someone to say, okay, this is my business idea, this is what I want to do, and to get some good concrete advice on, okay, if that's what you want to do, first off, that idea, you know, is not as valid in this form, but if you shift it this way, if you make it more specific, this is how it could work. And it really doesn't matter if you're doing a spiritual practice and you're talking to somebody who, you know, maybe ran a bookstore, because they get professionals who come in and will talk to you. The important thing is, what do I need to do to be a successful business person? You know, that's first, you know, which includes things like finding out what the laws in the city are regulating it, finding out what are your banking options, you know, what would be the best business account for you to have, what would be estimating the cost. And most of these things can be found in setting up a business plan, which is an excellent place to start. And you can go online, there's lots of templates. But basically what a business plan is the blueprint. You know, say if the business plan is to the business what the blueprint is to the building that you want to build. It lays out exactly what is it that you want to do, what market you will be focusing on, how you are going to present it. What do you feel your expenses, your initial expenses are going to be? How long, you know, before you can expect a profit based on what are other people in the area doing? What are the statistics behind, you know, this type of business. And it's amazing because you really, even in the most alternate spiritual practices, these are things that you can find and information you could find. Maybe it's not your particular spiritual practice, but there are maybe others that are very similar to it that somebody is doing, and go, okay, let me learn from what they're doing. What is it that they've got set up? You know, how big of a facility? Are you going to work out of your home? And if you're going to work out of your home, is there licensing for the, you know, is it zoned, you know, the area where you live zoned to be able to hold a business in your home? And honestly, information is key, because if, you know, you end up running into trouble with either permits or licensing or zoning, the answer, well, I didn't know that I couldn't do that, really doesn't go very far. When you start a business, the idea is that you've done what you need to know, so you're kind of held accountable for, hey, you know, don't tell us you didn't know you were supposed to have a business license. You know, these are the things you need to know. So, you know, finding out what it is you need to start a business, any business. Now, for those who wish to move into a spiritual practice, there are certain special things that you need to consider. One is, what type of practice is it? Is it, you know, clearing energy out of houses? Is it being a Reiki practitioner or any other type of energetic healer who will work one-on-one with people? Do you want to do consultations where it'll be strictly a verbal type of, you know, guiding someone through something? Do you intend to teach classes? And if you're teaching classes, is it going to be on, you know, making aromatherapy essences? Or is it, you know, sewing pillows with lavender in it? Or is it a meditation class? So the more specific you can be with what your service, what you are going to offer, the easier it will be to figure out what you need to get going. Let's say it's going to be sewing pillows that have, you know, aromatic herbs in them, you know, maybe lavender or jasmine or things like that. And, okay, what are some of the things you need to know? You're going to need to know where you can get big sources of lavender and jasmine and all of the things that you're going to need. What are your supplies that you're going to need? How much of them are you going to need? And how much are those supplies going to cost? Do you have the space to be able to have a workroom? If you don't have a space, you know, in your home that you can do it, is there a place that you can? Will you need to actually establish an office? So looking at what your particular area of expertise is going to be, and then figuring out, okay, what is it that we need to have in order to support that? Are you going to be having a solo office, or are you going to be working in partnership with other practitioners? And if that's the case, how are the, you know, is everybody going to divide the expenses evenly and then divide the proceeds evenly? Is it going to be on, you know, whoever does the most, makes the most? And especially when working with another practitioner, it is so important to get all of that stuff out in the beginning. Make sure that there is a clear understanding. And having, you know, worked around and with spiritual people for quite a while now, it's always interesting when that idea of, well, we're all spiritual and, of course, we trust each other and we're all going to be these wonderful, loving human beings all the time, that's not going to happen. We are light and shadow. We are the essence of our humanity. And it's very important when working with other practitioners that everybody's on the same sheet of music. You know, you don't want Bach playing by one person and Led Zeppelin playing by another one. Which actually, now that I think about it, those two might actually go together. But the point is that you want to make sure that if it's a cooperative type of thing, everything is written down. Everything is stated in a way that everyone looks at it. It's like, all right, we all agree that this is the way it's going to work. Everybody's going to sign it. And it's not about not trusting each other. This is about creating an intention. And by setting something, setting the words on paper, by making the agreements and having them established so that, you know what, if something is going a little bit tricky and the communication isn't what it should be, we all go back to what we agreed to. Now, if we want to change the agreement, then we all get together and talk about the change in the agreement. But it's really important to make sure that there is some type of an agreement in place. And the fact that it is spiritual work makes it even more important, because there can be a lot of gray zones in that. You know, if it's something a little bit more mainstream, or, you know, if it's a, you know, a more technical or a standard business type of model, it's going to, you know, have very clear rules, and the people coming into it are all basically, you know, understanding what all the rules are. In spirituality, each person's sense of spirituality is very unique. There are as many different ways to practice healing as there are healers who practice. Even if you have two Reiki practitioners, they're each going to hold it in a little bit of a different way. And so by having the agreement down, okay, this is how we're going to do this work, then it allows a freedom to be able to, you know, say, all right, this is what we agreed on. And if somebody says, hey, you know, I don't like this, it's like, well, you know what, we agreed on it. Now, we can always agree to change it, but that's going to be another discussion. But for now, we stick with what we agreed to. Having the agreement on how the business begins and having the agreement on how the business ends. Everything has a life cycle. What is the plan for the point when, okay, we've decided that we're going to either move on to something else, or maybe some of the people want to do it and some of the people don't. Having that as a part of an agreement. And all of that can be done within the business plan. So that's why it's really important to be able to have one. And getting help, you know, I mean, like I said, there's lots of templates. The best possible option is to have somebody help you with it, or at least have somebody look at it who can say, oh, okay, this makes sense. Well, you might want to do this, or have you considered what this possible scenario could be? So once you get that idea down, and also one of the great parts about the business plan is it helps you to be able to create what we refer to as the elevator message. And the idea behind the elevator message is that you are going to be able to explain what you do to someone in the time it takes to ride in an elevator. So, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you're picking out a movie. And the way most of us pick out movies is pick it up, you turn it over. If you've never heard of it, you read what's called a tagline. And tagline is the term used for the little blurb on the back that makes you say, oh my gosh, I have to watch this movie. This looks awesome. This reads very well. So the idea that you should be able to go up to somebody and say, hey, you know, this is what I do. If you are vague in what you do, no one will be able to embrace the amazing, you know, potential that's in it, because the message is vague. When you can give a straightforward, this is what I do, and have it be a little bit of a teaser, you know, bring something out. I was once asked, okay, in the shortest possible terms, can you explain chiropractic? And I said, yes. And they said, okay, in just a few words, what is chiropractic? And I looked at them and I said, it's a tremendously educated shove. And they looked back at me like, really? And I said, yes. But they wanted me to explain it further. Having something, having a comment, having something that you can put out there that kind of stirs someone's interest, makes them want to buy the DVD, makes them want to watch the movies. say, wow, that sounds interesting. Tell me more. So the idea of really nailing down what it is, you know, well, I'm a healer. That is a tremendously broad statement. You need to be able to say what kind of healer. Plus, being able to narrow it down really makes it a lot easier to get a business card. Which business cards rock? It's very important. And there's a lot of places, you know, like you can look up, you know, different companies, like office supply stores. They'll often have a business center where you can go and you can look and design a business card, which it's really good. You know, take time to think about that. Then there's aspects like websites, and all of these things go under promotion, which you will spend at the beginning the vast majority of your time in promotion. Do not go and sit in the room you've set up, or, you know, if you get an office, and don't go sit there and then just sit and wait for people to show up. In the beginning, it is almost 24/7 every time you meet someone. You know, I mean, don't make a pest of yourself, which people, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, this is my new business and I need to talk to you about it. It's like, no, bring it up. Somebody says, hey, what are you doing? It's like, well, you know, it's really great. I've started this business. I'm very excited about it. And it's oriented towards, you know, healing. And this is all the information about it. You know, my quick little blurb, give that. And then people will ask, wow, that's kind of cool. So you need to start working interest. Getting out where spiritual people are. There's a website called meetup.com that basically is a collection of all these different groups with all these different interests. And so you go on these social media things. Yes, social media can be a positive thing. You can set up a Facebook page that is completely just dedicated to your business. You know, like us on Facebook, one of the new marketing phrases. To be able to reach out and connect with people. Go to groups that are focused on what you do. Like I said, meetup.com, you know, I have a meetup group on that. And people say, hey, you know, we love the topic that you're talking about. We'd like to come and hear you speak. So the idea of utilizing social media, learning how to use it very wisely, and being able to get your name out there, get yourself promoted, get people talking about you, meet the type of people that can be able to direct clients to you and people to work with, and at the same time, to be able to support other people's spiritual businesses too. It's very much about cooperation. It's about, hey, you know, I've got this event. I'd love to have you come and talk. Making connections, networking. It can be very draining, and it can also be tremendously rewarding, and usually it will either make or break a business. If you're not willing to go out and promote yourself, make sure you have somebody who can promote you. Somebody's got to do it. So if it's not going to be you, if you just really are very introverted, find that really extroverted friend that has some time on their hands and say, hey, I'd really love you to help me with this. And because we all have that extroverted friend who can do that. You know, you find somebody who can help you with, you know, with websites, you know, taking classes. You know, there's a lot of classes that are offered. So looking at ways that you can promote yourself, looking at ways that you can really decide exactly what it is that you want to do, visualizing and affirmations are excellent. They are wonderful. And designing, it's like, okay, this is what I want my business to be like. It's a part of that. And, you know, there is that spiritual connection. There's that place of, okay, creator, you know, if this is really what I'm going to be doing, you know, I'm going to need some help. But we don't sit back and say, okay, creator, how about you bring me all of the people and they're going to just give me money, and if I'm not successful, it's your fault. No. Yeah, there's an old saying, God helps those who help themselves. We get help from the universe, and it's important for us to do our part. So one of the things that is, it's a California alternative healthcare law that, you know, before we finish up, I really want to bring up. It is California Senate Bill 577. And basically what that is text from 2002. It is an alternative healthcare law which provides legal protection for practitioners of alternative healthcare. And once again, it's California Senate Bill SB 577. If you are an alternative healthcare provider of any type, look it up. And if you can't find it, email me and I will send you a copy. It is an exciting piece of legislature that actually is an acknowledgement from the state saying, okay, we know that you're not doctors, and as long as you're not pretending to be one, we're willing to allow you to be protected. And it's a very simple form that, you know, is very easy, that you provide to the people you're working with, that states you are not a medical doctor, I mean, unless you are one, but, you know, most are not, that you are not providing, you know, what you are providing, what you are not providing, what your particular modality is, what it is not, and your experience as a practitioner. People, you know, can take that, you give it to your client, they sign it, you keep a copy, they keep a copy, and that way you are protected from being accused of practicing medicine without a license. And for those of you who believe you can go online and become a minister and that protects you, no, it does not. And it is very important to understand that. You are not protected as a massage therapist by having a title of minister. Because unless, if you are asked, all right, show us in your church's doctrine where it says that you are doing massage or that massage is a part of your faith, and if you can't produce that, no protection at all. Senate Bill SB 577 will protect you. So become aware of, you know, what your rights are, what laws govern what you do. And if you can do that, come at it from the place of it being a business, which includes charging. And spiritual people have a notorious difficulty for charging people. Honestly, you deserve to be paid for what you do. It is an exchange of energy at its best. And that exchange of energy, now I have treated people for salsa lessons and 2 dozen eggs. And that was my choice, but there was a return of something. So if you're going to be a practitioner, your energy is being put out. What you do has value. And people will value something more if they pay for it. You know, they will ask for it for free. Oh, well, I'm in such a horrible state. You know, I've had people who come to me, oh, I'm, you know, my spirit needs work, and I do work on them, and they're broke. And, well, you know, I'll pay you as soon as I can. And then I find out they just left for the Bahamas. So, you know, some things are a gimme. Some things you just give to the universe and figure that it's going to come back around. But make that the exception and not the rule. So, go out there. And if it's your passion, if it's what you want to do, if it's what you would do for free, go for it. Just figure out a way to get paid for it. And I will tell you from firsthand knowledge that it is, I wouldn't change anything about the work that I do and the satisfaction I get from it. And it's tremendously cool. And if you want to do it, get the information. And you can do it. You know, let the universe line up behind you. And it will, as long as you set down the foundation that you need to set down. And best of luck to you. If you have any questions, you can contact me through my website at www.the-healing-house.com. And if you would like to get information about events that I'm doing or contact me to do an event in your area, please feel free to get a hold of me and I'll be happy to speak with you. Blessings. I wish you a business that enriches you both spiritually and financially. And I wish you an amazing, wonderful Independence Weekend that is safe and sane. And we will get back together again next Thursday at 2. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care, everyone.